I grew up confused about my culture and identity and felt out of place most of the time until I found comedy, which forced me to be honest with myself, and I realized mostly I'm just an expat brat. Welcome to my show. I'm Salman Qureshi. All right, people. I've freshly recovered from a thunderstorm, and we're going into spring officially. Isn't that what it's supposed to be between like this time between April and June, July? I grew up without really knowing what spring was. I mean, obviously, I heard of it. I heard about the four seasons. But when you grow up in the Middle East, there's just one season. It's summer. And, well, actually, maybe two. There was summer and then, like, lesser summer. There was a bit of a winter, I suppose. So maybe three seasons? I don't know. But spring and fall were just, like, these unique concepts. And I thought they were something that Americans have, just like McDonald's. Eventually, McDonald's came over to the Middle East, and so did spring, or at least my understanding of it, because I just didn't know what it was supposed to look like. Look, when there are no trees around and you don't know what's going on, and there's not a lot of, like, animals and flowers blooming and stuff around you, you have no idea. I didn't know. I thought, I realized later that's what spring is. Now, it's easier to tell now. I know this sounds bizarre. It's easier now because people have gardens and like, Dubai is more green overall, even compared to when I first moved here. And so you see different things happening and you're like, ah, yeah, spring, flowers blooming. All I had back then was date palm trees, and they don't really go through seasons as much. Maybe they have like dates come out at some point. I should have known. I didn't even know spring and fall were two different things until, like, I obviously I did, but it just never made sense, right? So now it does, and it's supposed to be spring, but temperature wise it already is starting to feel like summer. So, you know, forgive me for not getting seasons, all right? Don't judge me so much. Anyway, life is good. Hey, let's start off with a big win. My family has a new addition. It's a little baby boy. My youngest brother just had him, obviously with his wife, because how else? We're still not at that stage where we're producing them by test tubes. Or are we? I keep forgetting. When they say designer baby, I'm not sure what's happening there with celebrities, but someday, maybe if I'm rich enough, I might have one, and then I'll tell you guys about it. I'll tell you the inside secrets of what's going on with that stuff. But for now, we had a baby in the family, and he's so cute. His name, they've named him Isaiah, and I just between us, I've forgotten what it means, all right? He's told me a couple of times, and I forget where he got it from, and I think it was like a lot of debate over the name. As responsible brown siblings, my sister and I really tried imposing what name they should go with, but they finally decided on that. And I think that's why I tuned out. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like the name, but because I didn't get to choose it. I mean, why should the parents get to choose it, right? You married into the family, sir. And I know my brother doesn't listen to my podcast, so it doesn't matter that I've forgotten the meaning, but it's a cool name. And then we fought over the spelling of it too, just to make it worse. And then they decided to go with the way they wanted to spell it. So, you know, it's not, things aren't off to a great start that way, but I mean, these young people, right? What do you do? What do you do? No respect for the elders. but he's cute. He's adorable. Not my brother, the baby. He's a mixed baby, and I guess they always turn out cute, right? Like nature's trying to tell us, look, mix up, and you come out more prettier and better, and we still want to stick to our racist ways and whatnot. Anyway, so my sister-in-law is German, and she's a great addition to the family as well. I love her. She's beautiful. My brother's handsome. The baby's super cute because of that, I suppose. But you know what? You know what was really funny? The baby, he's big. He is so big. He's like a 7-pounder. I don't think any of us have ever had. You know, this is nice because all my siblings were five. We all now have kids. We all had late babies. So my youngest brother just about joined us now, pretty late in the game, but oh my God, none of us have had a baby that big, man. He was a week old, and I was already like, when's he going to nursery, man? He's just gorgeous. He didn't have that ugly, fresh, out of the womb, deflated look ever. Just straight up, nice, round, cute cheeks, and the best features from both sides. So yeah, I'm loving it, man. Baby, but you know what? It makes me. It's not that long. It's been 5 years since my kid, and I already was like forgetting things about what to do with babies and the care you need for them and how small. I know he's a big baby, but he's still really small and light compared to my little bugger, who still likes to be picked up and walked around, and it's breaking my back. But anyway, different story. My sister, she's got a knack for it. She just remembers everything. She's at three, so it's more embedded in her. But she's just great at it. Meanwhile, I'm like, yeah, they do have milk a lot. And my brother's, it's really nice to see my younger one just being a father. It's funny seeing your siblings become dads and or mothers and just going, shit, I know what this guy was up to. Should we allow him to have a kid? But you know what I love most is just when they're new, when it's your sibling's brother, you have the same love for them as you would for your own child. And what I really love is getting to pick him up and hold him and like just make him tickle and laugh a little bit and just make him smile and then hand him back over to his parents and go home and sleep in peace. Oh my God, I love that stuff. I do not need to go through this baby stuff again. It's much harder than I remember. Oh God. But yeah, that's a win, man. It's happy times in the family. My loser moment of the week is, well, it's not even, it's longer than a week now. I've been watching reruns of Suit. And look, rarely do I go back and watch reruns of things. But I don't know whether it's I just can't find great shows right now or nothing really appeals to me. But I've gone to Suits, back to Suits like three or four times now. And I'm already on season 5. I'm binging it again. But what I like is that I know it's going through a resurgence or went through it last year, maybe because it was fresh on Netflix. It's interesting to me because I loved the show when it first came out and not as many friends or family had watched it. But it's great. One of the things I found interesting was that watching it this time, like I was team Mike Moore early on, at least the first time I watched it, and I've never finished it. I've never watched it last season because Mike leaves, and then I kind of lost interest. But now when I rewatch it, I'm like, Mike's such a whiner. Every time something comes up, he's just like, my parents died in the car, so I want to make them pay for this. And I'm like, I get it, but I'm also like, oh, God, shut up, man. Like, move on, man. It sounds horrible when I say it. I've kind of swung more strongly towards Team Harvey now. I'm just like, yeah, he's the man. I think as I grow older, I'm worried I'm going to become more Republican or something. Please keep me in check with those things, right? Yeah, but it's a great show. It still is. I still enjoy it. So it's but the fact that I'm watching reruns and not doing something productive, deep down inside, I feel bad about it. So there you go. There, you know, good things and bad things. All right. Anyway, today's episode is special, all right? It's Bionic 6. If you don't know what Bionic 6 is, I'm actually not surprised. It was huge for me when I was growing up. It was one of the shows I watched over and over again. I had it on VHS tapes, and I think I spent all summer for a few years every time going back and watching it again and again and again. And I realized as only very recently that it actually was just 2 seasons long, and there are like about 65 episodes in there. It felt like it went on for years for me. I guess 65 episodes is a lot, but I really thought it went on for a number of years, man. The reason the show, you might not have heard about it and why it got canceled, wasn't because it wasn't great. It was a great show. But the problem was, I think, on some production side, the team that made it, apparently they were like top-notch writers and creators and stuff that got together for this one. And then the production house that was doing it, I think, got sold off or some, you know, one of those things happened, and it got lost in the middle or just got shelved because of that, which is a shame, because I think if it had gone on a couple more years, it would have been as it would have had a cult as big as for Ninja Turtles or whatever, because it was, it had everything, man. Look, if you haven't watched it, I'll tell you, right? It's about a family of six people, Bionic Six, and I think it's one of the reasons I resonated with it a lot is because we were a family of seven, a bunch of siblings, you know, and so they were four siblings and we were five, and you know, just kind of like, it kind of like, I felt like we were there. We were part of this. We were Bionic 7, 6. You get what I mean, right? So it was quite relatable that way. And then the story was really cool. It was the dad starts off. Look, so there's this Professor Sharp who runs, I think it was called a special units, special science unit, something like that. Some lab, special units lab. It doesn't matter. He creates these bionic creations and energy and he researches all that kind of stuff. And then the dad, he becomes Bionic One. So he's kind of like secretly, I think that only the mom knows, and he's secretly like saving the world while pretending to work, you know, the whole Superman stuff. But it's pretty cool. And then this incident happens and all the family has to be infused with the bionic powers because otherwise they'll die, you know, had to do it. And so now they all become like characters in this thing and they fight evil as a family, which is really cool. And they have cool names and cool costumes. And the way they turn into like the Bionic Six was always cool. just check this sound clip out. That's them. Basically, like they do this kind of cool move where... shuffle their arms around. You gotta go online and watch it. And then they, at the final bit, they click the ring on their right finger with the wristwatch on their left, and they say what you just heard, and then they turn, like, you know, they're in regular clothes and they turn into the Bionic Six. And then they had like cool names, like, well, kinda. Like, I look back at it now, I'm like, some of them didn't. Like, Mother was Mother One. Father wasn't Father One, but Mother One was Mother was Mother One, and she had the labus powers, I think. But and then you had, a sports one who was, basically very cool. I think he was one of my favorites. And then the sister was called Rock One, and then it gets funnier because then there was another son named IQ. He was an IQ one. I don't know why that happened. He was also, the rest of them are white. He's a Afro-American and so probably adopted, right? And I think that's why he didn't have one, because they were like, look, we love you and shit, but we're not giving you our last superhero family name or something. So he was just IQ. And but at least it wasn't, you know, to be fair, the show didn't make the black guy the brood typical kind of thing. He was actually the smartest out of them and polite and everything, so, and strong at the same time, so a little bit of that. Anyway, and then, oh sorry, the youngest one was also Karate One, and you might immediately picture a Far Eastern kid, and you're right. So so much for not being so stereotypical. Oh, but he got to have Karate One in it. One was in his name. Well, I don't know, man. I guess the Asian kid was treated better than the Afro-American kid by this family. So those are your characters. And oh, and they had this gigantic, like, gorilla robot at home as well. Was it called Fluffu, something like that? And he was one of my favorites. But he made it so obvious that this is the Bionic Six family. I bring that up for a reason, all right? Let me give you a little bit more background. Their arch enemies were, and they had cool enemies. They had this guy called Dr. Scarab, and he was the brother of Professor Sharp, the guy I mentioned earlier. But he was like, he's like the mad scientist version of it. And it was quite funny because the Professor Sharp, the hero, was tall, lanky, and typical like glasses nerd scientist looking, and then the brother was like round, fat, and short. And so I guess those were kind of cool, funny stereotypes they did. And he had this the younger brother, Dr. Scarab, had this like fixation about wanting to be the smarter one and everything, and so he decides to conquer the world. But much like Shredder, he couldn't get the formula right. And so his henchmen were often had the powers, but not as smart or worked as well as Bionic Six. And that's why they kept failing. Yeah, there were a lot of similarities. And I think this came before Ninja Turtles. So maybe they stole that from this, or it's just a common use theme in anime and everything. I don't know enough. But that was the background. And he had interesting henchmen. This guy called Chopper who would go, every time he'd speak, he'd be like, I'm going there. I found all this cool back then. Now it's starting to sound silly. And then you had this guy like Glove, who was one of those characters. They always have this evil guy with a right-hand guy who wants to take over secretly, right? G.I. Joe, I think, had it. I guess Ninja Turtles, the Shredder, to some extent, Krang and Shredder, maybe they were kind of like that. You get the point. But he keeps failing. And that's the show, right? So the battles between them. And it's a great show. I don't know how, like I said, if it had run a bit longer, I think there'd be a cult and it would have been turned into a movie for sure. I still think it should be picked up and revived because the story and the characters and the tech, it was ahead of its time and it would still like be cool right now. It would still like, it had great stories and everything going in there. And I remember a lot of the episodes in there with the storyline, not just because I rewatched it a lot, but they just stuck. You know, they had like cool, interesting themes in the episodes where you're having fun. And that's hard to do for particularly kids shows, right? They had some, like all the funny stuff and action and everything, but they also sometimes had these cool things to think about and message. And I always think that's why some things stick for kids and you shouldn't dumb stuff down for them. Yeah, so I loved it, and like I said, if we would have done better, but there's one thing they probably need to change if they brought the show back, all right? And it was this. There's this, you know, the whole Superman Clark Kent joke that goes around about him just putting on glasses and covering it up? Well, these guys tried even less. It's really bad. Like, they did not have any, even the Ninja Turtles had that stupid eye mask. These guys did nothing. They walked around as a family, oh, so obvious because they've got this two adopted kids with them and sometimes even the gigantic robot at home, right? And they just walk around. And the gigantic robot has the Bionic Six logo on his chest. Maybe he didn't go out in public as much, but I don't know. He was there, right, with them. And so they always walk around and then... So no one ever recognizes them. They just walk and people walk by them in busy areas and stuff. And then some disaster happens, right? And they go, shit, we need to turn into Bionic Six. And they do it right in front. They don't even have the Superman thing of like running into the phone booth and changing costumes and coming out. Nope. They just stand there in the middle as people are running around and they do the whole Bionic Six thing. Which is really funny because right after they change, people go, oh, the Bionic Six are here. Dude, there are episodes where they do it publicly. There's an episode where Scarab like crashes this teen party and he suspects the Bionic Six kids are there. And it's like their faces are so obvious, but they're like checking everyone going, maybe it's this one. Maybe it's that one. And then they mistake this other blonde kid. Sports One is a blonde guy. For being Sports One. Just like, yeah, this was pretty stupid. This bit, this one thing was just really dumb about the show. Why did they do that kind of stuff? Anyway, so that's one thing that would need changing because it was such a big loophole. And I'm sure if it was brought into the modern time, someone, whoever rewrites the show, reproduces it or something would be cool. I genuinely think it would be such a cool movie to watch as well, right? Because it's got this mix of superpower science and adventures and cool stories and blah, and family. Family, yes, we all love family. and it just would resonate with most people. Maybe they might make it smaller because of people having less kids. But no, I think it, overall, it would work. It would work. And if you haven't watched this show, it's there on YouTube. I think they pretty much uploaded all the episodes up there. And you could watch it there. The only problem is the print is so bad. Like most of the episodes, I was like, God, this is hard to watch because of the print. It wasn't because it's made cheaply, but the upload quality isn't always great. And I tried getting my nephews and nieces to watch it, but I, you know, kids just, they just can't tell when something's old. And say, I've tried with a few different shows and they just kind of, they try for my sake, but I can tell they're not into it because I think that makes such a big difference to them. So yeah, there you go. That's the story of Bionic 6. I grew up watching. It was a big thing for me. It was a big thing in school with my friends. We had this whole phase where everyone was Bionic 6. Everyone had I'm this character thing with it. And it was such a phenomena. But like I said, in my memory, I thought it was much longer than it actually was. And that's why it interested me to go back and relook at it and realize, ah, shit. It was just a couple of years. I didn't have action figures and stuff. Anyway, if you're listening to this, watch it. If you're a producer or linked to someone, tell them to start an online petition. Get this show back on, man. I would love to watch. You have at least one customer who'll buy a cinema ticket. And maybe that's not good reason to spend a few million dollars on something, but I hope at some point, while I can still see things and go to cinemas and stuff like that, it comes out. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this little intro to Bionic 6, man. One of my favorites from kids. If you're a golf kid, I'm pretty sure you watched it because we didn't have anything else to do back then. Anyway, all right. And of course, I've been enjoying my stand-up comedy. I go through these phases where I love it. I just got asked again, so I'm going to talk about this. I get asked all the time. This one question that people do with stand-up, it's how do you come up with the material? What do you do? And I think people have these fixations either of like you're just coming up with stuff on the spot. That's not true. And being surprised it's scripted. It has to be. And wondering whether we just like walk around and pop up ideas pop up or we spend like days writing the stuff out. The truth is, I give advice sometimes when people press me because I don't want to sound like a douche, and make them think, oh, he's just hiding the secrets and everything. It's not that. I really don't know. I don't know what makes something funny. Like deep down, I really don't know and where these ideas come from and how they form, all right? Because I also think everybody has their own way of doing it, every comic. There's the extreme examples of Jerry Seinfeld who spend hours writing, and I've been lectured about that sometimes. You got to sit down and write and just write for hours and hours, and I just can't do it. It just doesn't work for me. Then apparently there's the other side. I don't know how true this is, but someone like Eddie Izzard, I've heard, because he's dyslexic, he can't write down his stuff, so he kind of just memorizes and riffs on it on stage and comes up with stuff. And I think I'm more that than Jerry. And maybe I do still try to force myself to write sometimes. But for me, material kind of just forms in my head as I'm thinking about things. And I go, oh, this might be a funny way to say it and stuff. And I'm sure if I wrote it down, it could get better. And that way I'm lazy. But that's how I like come up with ideas. I just kind of constantly am like running them in my head, pretending to speak them out in my sound crazy now. And then eventually they turn into jokes. But some of my best jokes and material also come on stage when I'm riffing, when I'm talking to an audience, or I'm just playing with my jokes and I get a nice addition or a bigger laugh over something I say and becomes a complete joke then. And that's beautiful to experience. So for me, it's a lot about playing and being creative and just having fun and then seeing what comes out. Obviously, it's hard when you're trying to write a one-hour show to just always have to wait for inspiration. You can't. But I also find instead of sitting and writing, the more shows I do, the more material I start generating because I'm on stage and, you know, it's a flow for me. And that's what works for me. So if you do plan on giving stand-up a go, and want to ask another comic, I'm sure maybe someone has better advice. I'm not, I'm a baby when it comes to the craft. But I think you got to find what works for you and then just come up and give it a go a few times. But remember to like try to have fun with it. Too many comics, I feel like, take it over seriously or something or start getting in their heads about it. And any creative art or form requires you to have a certain amount of play involved with it. All right. So there's my wisdom for imparted as well. things other than that are great. And I'm going to wrap up this episode now because you guys got to go. Wherever you were driving, you're probably almost there. And yeah, have a great day. See you on the next episode. Take care, people.
Thanks for joining us on another adventure with the Expat Brat, proudly brought to you by Capra Productions. If you enjoyed the show, please help us keep the mic running by clicking the link in the description and dropping as little as $3 to support us. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss out on our latest episodes.